Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
So hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Chestnut Checkers podcast. So I thought I would jump in and just, you know, crypto's crashing right now. So I thought I would jump in and just talk a little bit about what's happening in the market and just what we, you know, what's going to happen, right? We're going to talk about crypto tonight. We're going to talk about real estate. We're going to talk about some things that we normally don't talk about, right? Because, you know, for those of you guys that have been following me for a long time, you realize that, you know, that I've talked about more than just crypto, more than stocks. You know, we're thinking about what we're trying to build is a lifetime of wealth, right? And it takes a lot of skill sets, a lot of understanding of different markets, a lot of, you know, understanding of certain concepts to do that, right? And a lot of people, you know, don't understand. They think they're just going to buy Dogecoin and hit it big, or they're going to buy Bitcoin and hit it big or whatever. But what we have to do here is that you have to have a plan. That's all. That's the whole point. That's the whole reason why we call everything we do Chestnut Checkers, because we're trying to build a lifetime. We're about to build a lifetime strategy of generational wealth, including our own lifetime into our children's lives, into our kids' lives, right? That's what we're trying to do. So, like I said, we're going to talk about real estate, taxes, business building, and we're going to talk about stocks and crypto. But I want to move stocks and crypto up to the top of the hour because everybody's panicking right now, right? Everybody sees these big numbers, these big red numbers, and they're panicking. You know, Bitcoin's down. Let's take a look right now, right? So right now, let's look at it. Bitcoin's down 11%. Ethereum's actually recovering a little bit stronger. So down about 5%. Normally, you know, and historically in Bitcoin, this is one example. I'm sorry, one sign of what's coming, right? Is that Ethereum tradition, like I've been in this 10 years. I've been in crypto for 10 years, right? 10 years strong. A lot of people you see on Instagram, they just got into it. I've been in this for 10 years strong, and I've seen this happen time and time and time again over the last 10 years. And normally when Bitcoin drops, everything else drops worse, right? That's what normally happens, right? But what's happening now, which is kind of scary, is that Bitcoin's dropping a lot, and a lot of the coins under, like Binance, Ethereum, not dropping as much. And that's traditionally not, that didn't happen, right? And that's what kind of is weird, you know, because this, I'm telling you, like in the past, this didn't happen. Like if Bitcoin was down 12%, Ethereum would be down 20%. Binance would be down 20, you know, Dogecoin, I got to remember to say it the right way. I'm still thinking in the past, but Dogecoin would be down 30%, right? But it's all recovering. You know, Bitcoin seems to be the loss leader, which is kind of weird, right? And that's maybe a sign of what's coming. Like, you know, remember, guys got to remember Bitcoin is an old technology, right? It's been out for 12 years and technology hasn't changed much since it's been out. So a lot of these coins may be about to replace it in the future. So we don't know if it's going to happen or when it's going to happen, but it does. It is kind of weird looking at the chart patterns and where everything's at right now, you know, losing wise, right? But like I said, this is an opportunity for me to buy. And actually, I may buy some right in front of you guys because I'm thinking about, I may drop 20-some thousand in Ethereum because I know it's going to go up 10%. I may just do it right now. So let me see. Let me try to log in here. I may just go ahead and drop 25 in Ethereum and take it out when it's 10% up. Where's my phone? I can't do it on the phone. Let me see. Give me a second. Let me see this code. Sorry, guys. Yeah, I may just go ahead and do that now. Because like I said, I know Ethereum's coming back. I mean, you know, you can make a quick 10% the other way, you know, 5-10%. Bitcoin was. So let me just go ahead and do that. Oh, let me try to transfer. But yeah, let's keep talking while I'm doing this, right? Is that, so crypto, and remember what we talked about a little bit. We talked about where we are in the market cycle, right? We talked about, you know, what's going on with crypto and where is it, what's going to happen, right? Is that you got to understand, as I've been in this a while, a lot of people, and the crazy thing is about every time we get to this point in the cycle, remember, we're talking about market cycles here. We're talking about accumulation phase, markup, distribution, and markdown. Now, that's the phase, that's how the market works, right? Is that, you know, it could happen over a stock, it could happen over an industry, it could happen over a sector, it could happen over the entire market, right? So what's happening, So what could be happening here is that we're in distribution phase. I mean, it's almost without a doubt. And one of the, you know, the signs of, and I'm not going to show you what I'm doing, Chris. And the reason is because that's how hackers get into your account. You're telling them what you're doing, what accounts you got and stuff. And that's how people lose their Bitcoin. I don't ever tell where I got it at or what I'm doing with it, right? I would never tell you that, because if you look back on SIM card attacks, and that's what people don't understand, is that I'm a security. I learned about crypto from the software security industry. Right. So I know how easy it is to steal. People give out too much information. Actually, you shouldn't even be putting screenshots of your accounts, because let's think about it from a hacker's perspective. Right. So a hacker is going to look at a hacker is looking for targets. Right. So he's looking around and you just put a screenshot that you got Bitcoin and Coinbase. Right. So now what are you going to do? Right now I could go after this dude. I know he got money. Now I could try to reach him. I could reach out to him about some kind of Bitcoin scam, or try to get his password, or try to, you know, do some kind of password or SIM card attack on him and try to get his stuff. You already got one of the biggest hurdles out of the way. I know this dude has Bitcoin, and I know this dude has it in Coinbase. Right. So now, I mean, now you could target him. You see what I'm saying? But if I know this dude got Bitcoin, but he could have it in any one of 100 different places. You see what I'm saying? That's hard to do. You know, that's hard to target somebody like that. But if I know you got it in Coinbase, because you just posted a screenshot of your money in Coinbase, now I can target you. And I know somebody personally that's lost $25,000 like that, right? They were posting their screenshots online. They got targeted SIM card attack, in which they find a way to steal your SIM card and steal it. And they got your passwords. They got everything you got, the two-factor authentication that you use to get in, and they just lose your money. Because you're posting online, telling people what you got, trying to brag when actually you're giving away your positions. In software security, you don't want to give any information to anybody that could do something. Now, you can talk about it because they don't know where it's at. I could have my money in 1,000 different accounts. They don't know. You know, I'm sure I am targeted sometime, but they still don't know, right? It's hard to figure out where it's at. But if I start telling you screenshots and putting you where it's at, now I'm a target. They'll try to steal mine, right? And that's a good point about having it in a secure wallet. But back to what I was saying is that we're in this market cycle. Remember, we're in distribution phase. If people that have followed me on, follow me on Instagram for a while, you know I talk about this a lot. Distribution phase is when the average people, the people who are unsavvy investors, and I don't say that as a bad thing. I don't say it to try to put anybody down. I'm just telling you that's what it is. Unsavvy investors, unsavvy investor. I'm unsavvy at some stuff. Right. I'm unsavvy at, let's say, at building stuff. I don't know how to build. I'm not good at handiwork. I'm not good at installing stuff in my house. I'm not good at a lot of things. I'm unsavvy at that. Unsavvy investors means people that really don't know what they're doing, don't understand the underlying investments and are jumping into these things. And whenever those people jump in, and usually in distribution phase, that's when the market becomes shaky, because those people, like we talked about in the past, are panicky and greedy. And that's all that they're trading on, is panic and greed, pure emotion, right? That's it. They don't even know what they're trading. They have no idea how Dogecoin or Bitcoin works. They have no idea why it's going to be important, why they should even invest in it. They're investing in it because somebody told them to invest in it. So they jump right into it, don't care about nothing else. Now, those people, what happens? That only works if it keeps going up. Once it goes down, they're not there for nothing but the money. So they start panicking and selling, right? And that's what drives the market down. In the distribution phase, in the down, you know, into markdown phase, and then then that's it for that phase, all right? The heck? Oh man, guess I can't do it. All right, let me see if I can do a smaller amount. Nope. All right, so let's move on. Like I said, the badges are down at the bottom of the screen, and I'd appreciate it if you guys buy one. It shows appreciation. If you've made money off things I'm talking about, you know, that would be pretty cool for you guys to buy one of those badges down at the bottom of the screen, right? But back to what we were talking about here is that I encourage you to go out and make sure you understand everything you invest in. Now let's do an analogy here. Let's say somebody called you right now and said that they want to, it's a small town in the Philippines, it's about to blow up, right? And they want you to invest $10,000 into this town. And they're gonna and real estate's over there, and it's gonna blow up. Now, the average rational person will be like, I don't know nothing about that. I gotta go over there and see it. I gotta understand what I'm investing in. I can't just send money over to the Philippines on a place I never saw. I don't even understand how they work over there, how the real estate works. I don't understand the laws. I can't send money over there without understanding what I'm investing in. And most things people understand, but when the market is like it is in anything, stocks, crypto, the FOMO sits in, the fear of missing out sits in. Everybody's in panic mode. So they jumping into stuff they have no idea of what they're doing. They're taking information from gurus who just jumped into it themselves 2 months ago. Because everybody's in a panic. It's actually called mania. It's called mania. That's something that happens actually at the end of these cycles. It's called mania. That's when everybody is irrational, jumping into stuff. Gurus are telling you stuff. You're listening to your friend at work. You listen to the baggage handler at the airport. You're listening to the waitress. Everybody's just in a mania state, going nuts. Nobody, all those people have no understanding of what they're investing. The only thing they're investing for is that the price is going to go up. And we've seen this before in 2008 when the real estate was happening. Everybody and their mama was putting money into real estate, right? And it was in a complete panic state. If you remember back, if some of you guys are old enough to remember back 2006, 7, and 8, that's how it was in the real estate market, right? We was in mania, and we were at the end of distribution phase, right? That everybody was trying to get into real estate. It was a mad dash for it, and everybody was buying whatever they could to flip it. Everybody was either in real estate or real estate agents or brokers. Everybody was trying to get into it, right? It was complete mania for fear of missing out. Right. But like I said, the thing about it is that Elon Musk did a post or whatever he did. Right. And I like him as a businessman. I like what he's done, but he's kind of getting on my nerves because he does dominate the market a lot. And it's because so many people have followed him into Dogecoin. So many people have followed him in is now he controls the market. Right. So he can cause crashes. He can cause run ups. If somebody can cause a crash, they can also cause a run up. Right. Same thing. So. He just gets on my nerves. He needs to stop talking about it, man. And be honest, he's a cool dude and I like him a lot, but he just not stop talking about this stuff, man, because he's not helping people out. And even with Dogecoin, he's not helping people out, man. He boosts the price up, but it's going to fall as soon as the news stops. So stocks, like, you know, Casper's doing well. Casper did pretty good today. And it's one of those stocks that I talked about a few weeks ago on my Strategy Sunday, right? We talked about how that stock was going to continue to go up and how it was going to do well, right? So, but there's another stock out there, and I want to talk about that one before we move on. But back to what I was saying about Casper, though, is that this is another thing about mania, right? Is that we're also in a form of mania with stocks, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because in stocks, right, is that Casper is a stock that I talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago, right? Now, and I put out a good rationale why we were going to buy it. I talked about the business model. I talked about how it was going to do well in the next 3 or 4 months, right? So some of you guys, you know, I always encourage you to do your own due diligence, you know, figure out what you want to, you know, listen to what I say or listen to what somebody else says, but never take that as word, right? You always got to make sure you put your own due diligence in and you figure it out for your own. You got to make sure that you understand what you're getting into, right? So some of you guys took that and ran with it and actually understood what you were doing, and you may have invested in it, maybe you didn't, right? But what got me, what was crazy is that I said in the beginning it was a 3-month investment, right? Maybe more, right? And I started, and it dropped a little bit, right? And you got to remember, it's very difficult to get in a stock and it just keeps going straight up right after you buy it. And a lot of beginners don't understand that. They let their emotions and fear wash over them, and they make bad decisions because of that. They'll buy a stock, it'll go down 2% in one day, and they'll panic, right? But you got to understand, you know what? It's incredibly hard to buy a stock and it just goes straight up. It does happen sometimes, but it rarely happens. You got a 50-50 shot of buying a random stock and it going down the next day. It's 50-50 almost. So it's probably like I say 40-60. 40 is going to go down, 60 is going to go up if you pick a right stock. But still, it's close to 50-50. So you can't let that control. You make your decision, you stick with it, right? It's not going to just go straight up. So I got all these messages, all these comments. Where is that? What's happening to Casper? Whatever was happening to it? Well, it was a 3-month call, right? It was a 3-month, yeah, to be, I guess, the bio and tech kind of spoiled people. But it was a 3 month. Now that it's up, man, and now everybody's like, oh, yeah, yeah, whatever. But you got to understand is that it's not going to go straight up. Now, like I said, it's going to double in the next 3 or 4 months, but it's not going to be a straight up ride, right? It's just not. You got to understand that's how stocks work. That's how anything works. And I'll give you a good example. Let's just imagine that if in the stock market is, when you look at the stock market prices, the stock prices, it's an expression of value, right? So it tells you all the time what your stock's worth, about a second, bam, 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 bam. Every second, you can see what your assets are worth, right? Now, there's two things I'm going to tell you. So what that does while constantly watching your stocks, and now options are different, but if you got stocks, constantly watching your investments, you're actually creating, you're putting yourself in a crazy state to where you're constantly making decisions on should I sell, should I buy, should I sell, should I buy, constantly, right? You don't watch stocks like that unless it's like something like a day trade you do. But if you're in it for the long run, you make your decisions, you put your stop losses, you put your trailing stops or whatever, and then you move on, right? If you watch it every day, just imagine. Just imagine how much of a crazy state you were if I went to your house today and I put a big, like one of those tickers on the front, and that ticker said what the value of your house was at every second, right? So it'd be up, down, down, up, down. And I made it red and green depending on where it was at. You know, if I put it on everybody's house in the block, you know how crazy people would be? And let's say I put it on your car too. Then I also put it on some other stuff, you know, just all over your house, just tickers. On everything you got of value, I put tickers all over it. You know how crazy you would be, man? You wake up in the morning, your car's down, it's up, down, down, up. Your house is down 10%, it's up 5%. Man, you couldn't make, you know, you'd eventually get used to it. But at first, you would be crazed. But that's the same thing with stocks. You got to understand, if we buy a house today, right? I'm almost sure in 5 years it's going to go up. Right? Like a house, right? We buy a house today. We got a high confidence that it's going to go up in 10 years, right? So we're not going to watch the price every day because we know for that long term it's going to go up. We buy a house, make a conviction, and we let it go, right? We don't think about it every day. Where is it going to go? Oh my God, it's down, whatever. You know it's going to take 10 years, so you let it go. That's how you got to do with long-term stocks, right? Sometimes that's like a shorter term, but that's what I'm saying. You put it in there, you got your conviction, you got your stop losses, you got everything down, the conditional order. So if it goes up, goes down, it's just an automatic sale. And that's it, right? You don't sit around worrying about it. I'm gonna tell you what my friend told me earlier today. He's in finance. He said, Armando, you know what the best performing accounts are in finance? And I said, which ones? Rich people? He said, nah, not rich people. I said, well, what is it like? People that know about stocks or whatever? He said, nah. I said, what's the best performing portfolios, right? What's the best performing stock portfolios that they have at these at different companies? He said, deceased people or people who have been locked out of their account and forgotten about it. Or people who have locked out of their account and forgotten. Or people who have been locked out of their account and they forgot about it. He said, those accounts perform better than every other account. Now, what's the reason for that? It's because they're not watching it because they're dead. So the stocks are just left there to grow. There's no changing out, doing all this. They just grow and grow and grow over time. He said, those are the biggest performing portfolios. The best performing stock portfolios are of deceased people and people who've forgotten about their accounts completely. Maybe they locked out or whatever. Those are the best performing accounts. And that tells us something. It tells you sometimes, man, if you step back and let it go, you'll be better off than constantly making moves, right? You make a conviction, you put it together, and you watch it. That'd be stupid not to just watch it, but you don't have to watch it every single day. But that's what that's a great point because I like saying that to some people, and I just learned this today. It's because it makes you understand what's happened. It makes you understand that sometimes you don't have to watch these things every day, right? You make conviction, that's it. If it's going to go up, it's going to go up, right? So I want to talk a little bit about one stock. Let me see. Well, we'll talk about that at the end, but I want to talk a little bit about taxes and real estate and a little bit about business building while we're here, right? So I had a call earlier today with one of my people in my mentorship program, right? And she was like, you know, she's up a quarter of a million in stocks she's up about 150,000 in crypto. Or it's one of the other. It's either reverse or whatever. I don't remember exactly. Maybe she's up 250 in crypto and 150 in stocks. It's one or the other, right? And she was like, she's thinking about like, you know, getting out, you know, having to sell some or whatever and move on, right? But you got to remember, and I told her, she makes about $80,000, $90,000 a year, whatever she made. I don't remember. So I told her, I said, you got to be careful. And she said, why? I said, because when we make this type of money, you got to start doing tax planning, right? And what do you mean tax planning? Yeah, because you remember there's tax levels. Once you reach a certain level, you got to pay more taxes. And if you're a dollar under that level, you pay a lower tax. That's what people refer to as tax brackets, right? So if I make, I don't know what the tax brackets are, but let's say the tax bracket at 400,000 is 35%. Well, if I make 390,000, I got a lower tax bracket, right? So what happens is that you have to understand, when you make that kind of money, a lot of you guys have done that over the last 2 years we've been, you know, doing this stuff. The last time, you know, some of you guys out there have made tens of thousands. Some of you guys have made hundreds of thousands. Some of you guys have changed your lives completely. So a few of you out there are millionaires off some of the stuff we've been talking about in my classes and the mentorship and things like that. But you have, when you get to that level, you got to start understanding the tax laws. Infamous Marv. I'll go ahead and delete this person. Yeah, so back to what I was saying is that if you're up that much, you got to understand, right? You have to understand. She's going to get killed. What does that mean? Forget it. But you got to understand how the tax law works, right? Because there's tax strategies where you can split. You can separate that money over a longer period of time, you know, and maybe not pay as much taxes, right? But another thing you got to understand is that with crypto, and this is a law that I don't like, right? It's a law that I don't like. It's something called a taxable event. And that's whenever you convert an asset into cash, that's a taxable event. That means a taxable event really means that's when they can tax you, right? That's when you owe the government money, right? So normally when you sell a stock for money, that's a taxable event. You owe the government money. But with crypto, they believe that a taxable event is this. If you convert your crypto to another crypto, right? You convert your crypto to another crypto, right? That means that, let's say, for example, I got 100,000 in Bitcoin. And I convert it to Ethereum because I believe Ethereum is going to do better. That's a taxable event. And I don't agree with that. I think it's wrong, but it is. That means at that point, you owe the government any kind of gains. Let's say I start out with $10,000, right? And then, and let's say in some crypto, Dogecoin, right? So I say, well, it goes up to 50,000. I said, well, I want to take that 50 or take that 100. Let's say 100 is easier for me to do math. I'm going to take that 100 and then I'm going to convert it to Ethereum because I think Ethereum is going to do better. And you didn't understand the tax laws, right? You didn't understand it. So you converted it to Ethereum. That's a taxable event, right? So now the government says you owe us whatever your tax rate, 20% of that $90,000 you made on the rise of Dogecoin. I don't care what you did with it. I don't care that it's in another crypto. You owe us taxes, right? And I wouldn't encourage anybody, Exodus. I wouldn't encourage anybody. I'm telling you right now, the IRS is getting way, back when we first started crypto, to be honest, nobody paid taxes. Right now, I'm not going to say I didn't because I always paid my taxes, but there were people in this industry. There were people out there that they never paid it because back then you meet a dude in the street, you pay cash for the crypto. It wasn't all this stuff out there. It was mostly a cash business. You meet a dude at a hotel and he give you 50,000 cash and you bam the Bitcoin and walk off, never see the dude again. That's how it was back 8-9 years ago. It was all a cash business. Like my first Bitcoin, I'm going to tell you guys this. The first Bitcoins I bought, right? The first time I got in, I was still in grad school back in 2011, right? It was a dude that used to be at a casino down here, right? And he was always there. It was an Asian kid. He was nice. He was a nice guy too. I used to talk to him about crypto a lot. And you know how you'd meet him? You text him and say, hey man, I want to buy some Bitcoin. He said, all right, but the going rate is this. And I look online and say, oh, okay, it looks good. Then I would drive down to the casino. The dude would be playing, right? He's playing hands, right? With glasses on and his hair headphones on. And he would when he finished his hand, he'd do the deal on the side. You give him 1,000, he'd give you the Bitcoin, he'd start playing again. And that's how I used to buy my Bitcoins because all this Coinbase and stuff didn't exist. You know, so I said it was mostly a cash business, so nobody paid taxes. But now the government is getting extremely good at tracking this stuff. They have programs that track it. They got the consultants. They got people. They got artificial intelligence programs that that do all these things. So I wouldn't, if I was you, I would tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, if I was you, I would not try to avoid paying taxes on your crypto gains. First of all, it's going to be too hard. Second of all, it's going to be, you don't want to get caught up in that. I'm just being honest with you. You do not want to get caught up in that. If they find out you did it, now you're in a position where if you get a good IRS agent, they can decide to send you to jail. You didn't pay the taxes, right? But they can also decide to just penalize the heck out of you and take all the money. So it just depends, man. And like if they hit you with those they call them fraud charges, right? It's not a criminal charge, it's a civil charge, but they take almost all the profits you made. Like let's say for example, I made $90,000 in Dogecoin, right? And I didn't pay the taxes. Well, they're gonna get the taxes, they're gonna charge you like double of what you should have paid. So you end up paying them 60%, 70% of what you made. So I mean, I would say, man, just make sure, and they will audit you, man, and they'll trace every single dollar you ever made. You don't want to be involved in that. Right? So I'm just saying you need to understand how the tax laws work. You got to understand how those taxable events work. You got to understand how these things will affect what you're doing, right? So the last thing I want to talk a little bit about, is a business building, right? I just want to talk about these things because, we've been so on to crypto. We've been talking so much about stocks. I kind of want to make sure that we, get back to our core, right? There's many ways to make money besides crypto, stocks, there's real estate. And that, you guys know that's what I've been doing this year, is that I've been taking all those gains that I've been making in stock market, making in crypto, and moving it into real estate, mostly in Puerto Rico, mostly here in Florida. Now, I've gotten two new houses in the last 2 months. I got a house, and I also got a... Now, actually, I'll be honest, I'm buying a new house, but this house I'm in is paid off. So this house is going to be an Airbnb house. And I also got a condo that I bought a couple of months ago. And I'm also going to purchase some property in Puerto Rico this summer. So I'm trying to have 4 to 5 houses for the end of the year. Because, like I said, I can see the crypto market coming to an end here shortly. Now, I'm not saying I don't believe in crypto. I'm not saying I don't believe in Bitcoin. Because I think the next cycle is going to go to 250,000, 300,000 Bitcoin. But you got to understand that this cycle normally takes about a few years to come back. Because remember, Bitcoin has something hard coded into it. And if you don't understand this, I'm telling you right now, I'm trying to be make sure I'm doing it for your own good. Right. I'm not trying to be, condescending or arrogant or nothing like that. I'm just going to tell you like I would my own son or my own daughter. Right. Before I say this, if you guys, the badges are down there. So like I said, I'd appreciate it if you guys buy some badges while you're in. But I'm going to tell you like I tell my own son, is that if you don't understand what the Bitcoin halving is or the halfening, you shouldn't be in Bitcoin or you shouldn't be in it long term. If you don't understand what that term meant, if you don't understand what it does to the price of Bitcoin, if you don't understand how that affects all prices in crypto, and it's a simple concept, you should understand that, right? And we talk about that in my class on Friday. It takes a little bit of... the class is on Friday. I'll put the link up later. We got a class on Friday on that. But you should understand that. And if you don't, and you're heavily into crypto, I'm not saying if you like out of $50 in, $100 in, nah, that's okay. But I'm talking about if you got hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands in this, you need to understand the market cycles and what that halving is and what it does to the prices. And if you don't know, you need to know. Right? You need to know. Because that affects the Bitcoin every 4 years. It's hard coded into Bitcoin's core code to cut the supply every 4 years, which causes the price to go up. It's nothing in history. No asset in history has ever had this, where it's actually programmed in the code for the price to continue to go up. And that's what Bitcoin has in it. So me thinking Bitcoin's it's gonna continue to go up. I'm not worried about that, but I'm saying for the short term, for 2-3 years, your money may be locked up. And that's why I'm saying is that, there's, like we talk about, there's not such thing called opportunity cost of money. I'm not going to have my money locked up for 3 years and I could be making money on real estate. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not taking all of my stocks and my gains of all this stuff out. I'm putting some of it into real estate. So when that real estate's out there, that's hard. That's why it's called real. It's real. You know, remember crypto and stuff is monopoly money, right? It's just money on paper. That means it's not real. You know, real estate is real. You can live in it at minimum, right? Or somebody can live in it. So I put some of those in some real assets. And then over the next 2 or 3 years, when Bitcoin comes back, you know, we'll be okay. But like I told somebody earlier today is that I believe in crypto with all of my soul and heart, right? And it's deeper than just an investment for me. Now, stocks, you know, I love stocks and I love, but you know, that's money. You know, I like how stocks work. I like the numbers behind it. I like the analysis. I like all this stuff. I like the concepts, but I like stocks. I'll say I like it a lot, but I love cryptocurrency. I love the technology. This is what most of my life is now, right? So this is deeper for me than just some investment, but like I said, it still seems like there's going to be a big correction, right? And it's going to be two to three years before anything changes. Like the last time, and go back on the charts, look at 17, 18. Now 17 was a wild year for crypto. Bitcoin went from 1,000 to 20,000 in 1 year, right? In January of 2018, the crash happened. Bitcoin didn't recover for 2.5-3 years. It was just down. So that's what's called a lost opportunity cost to your money. And the reason is it's called opportunity cost. You just lost opportunity because the it drops, right? Now it's coming back. I really believe it's coming back. But over that time, you could have put that money somewhere else. And there's another thing too, is that even though I believe in crypto with all my heart, I believe it's going to change the world, I'm not 100% sure. So you can't go into anything like that. You have to always be constantly thinking about risk management. Now, what if this doesn't work out? I'm not going to have a 99% of my net worth into crypto like some of you guys got out there. Like some of you guys got all of your net worth in this. And that's why it's you got to constantly think about. What is everybody adding these people for? Breakfast Club AM. I don't understand it. But back to what I was saying is that you have to understand risk. No matter how much you believe in something, no matter how much of a sure thing it looks like, there's always that risk hanging over your head, right? That it may not work out like you thought, right? And that happens, and think about it. If that happens and you got all this money inside there, if that happens and you got millions and millions of dollars, I'm sorry, hundreds of thousands of dollars of your own money into some kind of stock or some kind of crypto, what you going to do now? You know, what happens if it crashes? You're back to zero. And like I told you guys, I'm not going back to zero, right? I'm not going back to zero. Do you think Bitcoin? Okay, so like I said, for the badge owners, I'll answer some badge questions. If you guys buy badges, like I'll try to get those questions first, and I'm gonna spend about 10 minutes here just answer some questions, 5-10 minutes. Now, for the stock I was going to talk about, right? There's a stock out there. Like I said, I'm 100% on this one yet. But the thing about this stock is it's an investment bank, right? And it came across my screen. It was on some news article about it or whatever. And I done the analysis. I looked at it. It's in an upward trend. It does have good financials. It looks like it could continue to go up. And it's one out there that, you know, I've been really watching. And I'm probably going to start investing in it either tomorrow or Friday. I'm going to start averaging in. And it's called Jefferies Financial. And the symbol is J-E-F. Jefferies Financial. Now, this company is a company that during the pandemic, right? And a lot of times in shaky times in the economy, in shaky times in the world or in anything, right? Is that a lot of times that shakes out the bad people. And then whoever lasts through that, like all the restaurants, really the restaurant sector, the restaurants that got through the pandemic are probably better restaurants than the ones that lost or the ones that failed. So in the financial sector, a lot of financial companies took some big hits. So Jefferies Financial actually got stronger through the pandemic, unlike a lot of financial firms, right? And also, it's in an upward trend for a couple of months now. So that company, like I said, I'm going to start averaging into this one, right? And I'm going to talk about it more on Strategy Sunday, but I thought I wanted to let you guys know a little bit earlier, right? Because I haven't really done my full due diligence on it, to be honest. And I just wanted to let you give you guys a little head start. Now, I'm not saying I can't tell you what to buy and sell. I can't do that, but I can show you guys. You know, I can show you what I'm looking at. I can show you what I'm seeing in the market and try to make sure you guys get a little head start on everybody else. So with that being said, like I said, badge holders, if you appreciated this live, if you learned something, pay for a couple of badges. I'd appreciate that. And we're just going to spend the next 5 minutes, answering some questions. So if you guys got any questions, guys, anything you want to talk about, we'll just go ahead and shoot the breeze the last 5-10 minutes. What do you think about the crypto Shiba? I don't know, man. Everybody's been asking me about that coin, man. like I've gotten probably 100 messages in the last like 2 days off of that. And I don't know anything about it. I'm going to research it before Strategy Sunday, right? So I got another question. Will XRP win the SEC battle? The XRP, more than likely, in my opinion, they'll win that battle. And when they win the battle, the price is going to recover back to where it was, if not higher. Because I think that the battle with the SEC is really unfounded. And the only reason the SEC went after them is because they have a company structure. You can't, that's the good thing about Bitcoin is that the government has nobody to go after. Nobody owns Bitcoin. Nobody controls it. So if the government want to do a lawsuit, they can't go after nobody, either with Ethereum, most of the cryptos. But with XRP, because they do have a CEO, they do have a CFO, they do have a corporate structure, the SEC can go after them. So the SEC went down the list, found a company who they can go after, and they went after them. That's what happened with them, right? So I think it's unfounded. I think they're going to come out of this, and I think it's going to be strong. And like I said, I don't really, because of that corporate structure, I don't really like XRP. But just looking at it objectively and saying where the price is going to go, they do have a good technology. It's cheaper, faster, more efficient than Bitcoin and Ethereum. And I believe that they can, the price probably will recover, if not go higher, after all this SEC stuff is over. So let's say Tilray and Ethereum Classic. Now, Ethereum Classic kind of took a bigger hit in this crash, but I think it'll recover here pretty soon. And Tilray too. I mean, Tilray was a 3-month play too. You guys got to be patient on that. We got any more questions from badge holders before we move on to anybody else? We talked about Safe Moon on Sunday, so just look up that Strategy Sunday on Sunday, and you can take a look at it. I don't know much about BitTorrent. I know they're doing like they have a coin though. But like I said, I don't know much about that. I don't know what's going on with Safe Moon. Let me look. Safe Moon actually jumped up a bunch of ranks. AMC, like somebody, and I'm gonna tell you a story, man. And that's why you gotta be careful about it. And during these times in markets, it's called mania. And that means that everybody and their mom thinks that they're experts, right? So I had a woman approach me over online, and she was like, yeah, my friend told me, to take my life savings and put half in AMC and half in GME. I mean, that's crazy, man, that somebody would even suggest that to somebody. Put your life savings into, I'm not saying the stocks can't do well. I'm not saying that they're not going to go up. I don't know. But you don't tell nobody to do that because both of those are high-risk stocks, right? So you don't tell somebody to do that. And then you start spitting out terms about short squeeze or whatever. You don't, I mean, even though they could go up, even though it could, you don't tell nobody to put their entire life savings into it. It's because these people have had a bunch, they're novice people. They're unsavvy investors. They had a couple of big wins and now they're overconfident, right? And that's what I'm telling you guys. You have to recognize the overconfidence in yourself. It happens to me. It happens to everybody. That's why I like to tell you guys about these things because these human psychology exists in everybody, even you know, me too, right? I've been doing this for 10 years and I sometimes get greedy. I sometimes get too scared. I sometimes get overconfident. Everybody does that. But the key is recognizing it in yourself and stopping it before it starts controlling your decisions, right? That's the key, right? But as I'm saying, is people get overconfident. That's why it's hard. It's bad when a new person gets into stocks or options or crypto and they make a bunch of easy wins. Because once they do that, what happens? Is that now they think they're geniuses, even though you got to understand that it takes a long time to become an expert at this, right? Now, you can get into it and trade well. Like me, for example. I can go down to the guitar studio and get some guitar lessons. I could probably play Mary Had a Little Lamb in a couple of weeks, right? And I could probably play another song in a couple of weeks. Me to be an expert on the guitar would take years, right? But that, just because I can play Mary Has a Little Lamb, because I can play another song, I can't start giving people advice on guitars. I can't go run off and do a guitar class. I can't write a book on guitars. You see what I'm saying? And that sounds right. When you think about it like that, you're like, oh yeah, you're right. You just learned how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb 2 weeks ago. You can't teach people how to play a guitar. You don't know enough yet, right? But people, for some reason, in stocks and things that are way more complicated than that, they think they can go around giving advice because they had an easy win last week. Right. But that's what you have to understand. I'm telling you guys this because I don't really, I know that they're overconfident, but I'm telling you, you have to be careful who you listen to. And a lot of people, especially new investors, they listen to anybody. Their people at work, their best friend. You got to understand, you wouldn't take advice from any medical advice. Would you take from your best friend? Nope. Would you take real estate advice? Nope. You wouldn't take nothing else, but you would put all of your entire savings into two stocks because your friend told you. Now that's because we're in mania. That's because everybody's panicking and in FOMO. That's the reason why this is happening. It wouldn't happen in any other situation, but that's a sign of the distribution phase. We have any questions? Oh, the Breakfast Club gonna call me? I hope they do, man. I heard they needed somebody to talk about crypto, man. Like I said, I got a better background or a longer background than anybody else. I guess any minority, right? Because when I first started going to crypto conferences, I was the only minority there for years. I was the only one for years, 5 years. Now, there's nobody else there. Now, I'm happy that a lot of minorities are getting into it. A lot of minorities are coming out on top there. You know, they're understanding the technology, they're moving into it. But before, it was just me, right? Now, you know, it was a small community back then. IOTA, I still think IOTA got the potential to go to $5, $10 in the next, if the market doesn't crash, like in the next 6 months, I think it can. But like I said, we'll have to see what happens with the overall market. But IOTA is a transformative technology. It's a transformative technology that is more advanced than every other crypto out there. And I know that everybody says this about every crypto that comes out, but IOTA really is. And some of you guys have done the research. Some of you guys have looked it up. And you understand how advanced this is. It's completely more advanced than any other crypto. And that's one of the reasons why it's not being adopted as fast, because it's so far advanced that it's hard for people to adopt it. It's hard for people to integrate it into their systems, integrate it into their exchanges or whatever. It's hard. Like for Coinbase to add IOTA would cause a whole bunch of work. For them to add these other coins, they just press a button because they're what they call ERC-20 tokens. They're all the same. Right. So most of these coins that you trade, most of these coins that you buy, sell back and forth are what's called ERC-20 tokens. That's like a standard. It's a standard format for coins. Right. So like I said, Any of you guys can go right now, go on Fiverr.com and get our ERC token tonight in your name or whatever, you know, Chairman Poppy coin or whatever, you know. But when you have a coin that's fundamentally different and transformative like that, they can't just add it in. It takes a lot of work. So they're not going to do it unless they're pretty sure that this coin, you know what I'm saying? It's going to take a long time. It's so much different that you can't even really get wallets for it. It's just, it's way, it's advanced wise and technology wise, it's years, light years advanced of what's out tonight. Now, for you to get the full value, it may take a while, right? So with that being said, where's all the money in the market cap for crypto coming? Oh, that's one more thing I want to talk about, right? One more thing I want to talk about is in crypto, and this is what's confused, like with Shiba coin. I did look at it earlier. I forgot. I did look at it earlier, right? So Shiba coin, I looked it up. I'm sorry. My friend told me about it. I didn't look it up. So I said, hey, man, what's going on with this Shiba? You know, I talk to people all day about crypto, all day about coins. We've been doing it for years. So my friend called me and said, hey, man, did you see this Shiba coin? Everybody's talking about Shiba, whatever it is. I said, yeah, man, I saw it. And he said, yeah, man, it went up 3,900% in the last week. I said, all right. And I said, what's the volume? Because this is what people forget about, the volume. She said, well, the volume is $1 million. $1 million? And I says, that's it? You understand when something's that low, you understand when what the volume is the amount of times this asset trades hands, right? So if the volume's too low, I don't care what the price is on the screen, you can't sell it. And that's what you people have to understand. If the volume is low, you have to constantly look at volume when you're buying these exotic coins that weigh, you know, way down, right? And the reason is because the price on the screen is not what your coin is worth, it's what you can sell it at. And when the volume's that low, you can't sell it because there's a what's called a gap between the bid and the ask. So you may have to sell it instantly at a 20% loss because the volume's too low. It's important, especially in these low volume tokens, especially when it comes to penny stocks, and especially in low volume stocks, to understand what the bid and the ask price is and what the volume is. You have to understand these things. You can't just run at stuff and think you know what you're talking about. You have to understand these concepts, especially when you're dealing with these exotic coins like this. You'll be able to buy it, but you won't be able to sell it. And because there's nobody buying it. The price on the screen means that's what the last time it sold at. And it could have just been one token. One token sold at that, or one coin sold at that. Right? And then you go in there trying to sell your million tokens, and ain't enough volume to pick them up. So you got to be careful. So LeBron James or LeZon James or whatever his name is said, I didn't see his question. Answer the question now, and I'll try to answer it. I'm not sure what the volume is. That's what somebody told me earlier today. I haven't looked at it. Let's look it up. Somebody said it's like $1 million. Let's look it up. But I'm just saying, regardless of what the volume is on Shiba, the volume is 7 million. No, it's more than that. It's 7 billion. That's pretty good. But somebody told me that. So yeah, it's pretty good volume. But I'm just saying, you got to still, regardless, you still have to be mindful of that. Because if you don't have, if it doesn't have good volume, then you can't sell and buy these tokens. Regardless of, you know, Shiba, I was wrong about that, but you still have to be mindful of that. We got any more questions? Ask your question again. THEWRK. CCL. I don't know anything about that. Do you think ETH is about to climb like crazy? ETH may be at its top pretty. I had it pegged at from the beginning. As I said, we'll get to 8,000. It's already at 4,000 now. So the upside there is 50%, you know, 100%, I mean. So right now, yeah, it's still probably going to go close to around 8,000 if nothing else happens in the market. But I think that it may go past, it may go to 10 or whatever, but there's no way you're exactly right. It may go to 7, you know, but but I think the top is somewhere around there when this whole cycle is over. When we get, you know, we move into markdown phase, I think that's where the top's going to be. You know, it's hard to judge exactly where.